for my benefit on the bodily platform, or I am this body. At least in some subtle way, we're getting into that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or Haridas Thakur, recommends, he makes a very interesting recommendation. He says that seeing this indicates you've come onto the bodily platform. What, he says, what you should do is to counteract, as a remedy for this, to cure yourself of this, you should find some Vaishnav who comes, at least from before he was a Vaishnav, comes from the lowest position in society that you can find. You know, whatever that might be. The lowest. You know, in a Vedic context, that would mean Chandala, Malecha, or Yavana, something like that. Some devotee who, you know, was born in a certain family, really, really low. You should find that devotee, and then throw yourself at the lotus feet of that devotee, and eagerly take the dust from that devotee's lotus feet, and then bathe that, the feet of that devotee, with water, and drink the water, and then take the food remnants of that devotee, take the dust from the devotee's feet and smear it all over your body, and offer very humble prayers for mercy at the lotus feet of that devotee. So now the example here given, we mentioned Kalidas. Some of you may have heard of Kalidas. Have you heard of, how many of you heard of Kalidas from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Oh, only a couple of you. So Kalidas, he was an uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, and he was a great devotee. And he had taken up as a, like a vow. It was his thing, he was just into, it was his activity, that he would take the dust and food remnants and the water which had washed the feet of all the devotees in Bengal. Now there's probably millions of devotees in Bengal in those days. So he actually did it. He took the food remnants of all of them. Now, of course, and he washed their feet, and he took the dust from their feet, and like this. So there, one particular incident is recorded there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He went to one Vaishnav who was from that sort of background, lower class background, and he approached him and he said, his name was Jadu Thakur. He said, "My dear Jadu Thakur, can I please have some dust from your feet?" So what did Jadu Thakur say? He said, "No." He said, "Well, you know, I don't have lotus feet, actually. So, now the question doesn't arise. Could I have some of your food remnants?" And he said, "Well, yes, you could, but what would be the point?" So in this way, as devotees, we would expect would do. Jadu Thakur refused. But Kalidas, he was very determined. So he brought two mangoes as a gift. He gave them to Jadu Thakur and said, "Okay, I'll go now." So Jadu Thakur walked him out to the front gate, out to the road, said goodbye, and Jadu Thakur went back inside to eat the mangoes. And Kalidas, as soon as Jadu Thakur got inside, he came running back, found the footprints of Jadu Thakur in the path, and just took the dust and just smeared it all over completely and just bathed in ecstasy in the dust of Jadu Thakur. Then Jadu Thakur was sitting there eating the mangoes, and he ate the mangoes and then threw the stones away and the skin into the rubbish heap at the back. So Kalidas, he went and he dug in and he got the mango seeds out and the skins, and he sucked on them and just got all the mercy. And as a result, Kalidas, this was his practice. He wouldn't take no for an answer. And if, you know, if no really was the answer, he had his ways of getting around it. Yes. So anyway, if you happen to be a little bit on the material platform, you're thinking, you know, when you chant Hare Krishna, you're thinking about, you know, the new whatever you'd like, you know, the new thing that you'd like for Krishna, or whatever. Yeah, you've got to be merciful to the BMW company by engaging their cars in Krishna's service. Otherwise, how will they advance? Anyway, you should do that. Find the lowest, I mean the Vaishnava who previously was from the lowest background, and just do like that, and stop at nothing. Stop at nothing. So this is what the example of Kalidas means. Then, let's go on to the ninth offense, to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the Holy Name. Anyway, I think what I'll say here, we've made a couple of notes as you can see, but due to a lack of time, I think what I'll just say here is that, you know, you may try to tell someone, you may try and tell anyone too much. You know, if you go to even one of the devotees and start talking about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and if you really get into that, then you'd be committing this offense. If you go to a Christian and get into a debate with, you know, one of these born-again Christians, and it turns into the usual heated discussion, then you'd be committing this offense. Yeah. So there are different ways you can commit this offense. Just by instructing people beyond their capacity to absorb, yeah, essentially means you're committing this offense. Yeah. So we have to be very mindful of our audience and not take the audience beyond their capacity. And what to speak of, you know, not get into some sort of verbal battle with a Christian. So that really is the essence of the ninth offense. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a recommendation that if you happen to commit this offense, there you are going door to door in Phoenix, and you meet some Christian enthusiast, and you get into a real humdinger, and you know, you tell him off and he tries to tell you off, then what you should do is you go into the association of the devotees, and in front of them all you announce that I did this. I'm an offender. Yes. I tried to preach the glories of the Holy Name to some faithless person. So please, be merciful, pray to Krishna for me. You can do like this, and then offer your humble obeisances at the lotus feet of the devotees. Even, it's interesting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur applies this offense in terms of a spiritual master who may accept a disciple who in the end turns out to be a nonsense. Yeah. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if a spiritual master does this, accepts such a disciple, and you know, then the person later on falls away, becomes a real offender and aparadi, and you know, attacks ISKCON or something like that. So unfortunately, these things happen sometimes. So then, the spiritual master is meant to come before all the devotees and proclaim that, you know, I've done this, and publicly reject the disciple. Yeah. And if he doesn't do that, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he'll get very serious reaction and could possibly fall down. Yeah. So this is the recommendation here in regards to the ninth offense. And now let's just go on to the tenth offense. To not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Here's a definition of faith. By rendering transcendental, loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to the discharge of devotional service, is called Shraddha, or faith. Shraddha Shabde. What that means is, this word Shraddha, Shraddha Shabde, this word Shraddha, this word faith means. And we're going to ask you about this in the test. You must be able to define faith in these terms in the test. Okay. Did anyone not catch that? We're on your side here. So, then the next point, we've also called it point number one. Well, it's very important that having given up the first nine nama parads, just one way or another, every devotee must surrender completely to the holy name. And there are six principles of surrender. We talk a lot about surrendering, but what does it mean? What does it mean? You know, in the Wild West movies, did you ever watch any Wild West movies? Buffalo Bill and company. You know, they have this thing when someone has a gun pointing in his face, he puts his hands up like this. You've seen that? Hands up, they say. So actually, in the Vedic scriptures, this is a mudra. A mudra means a hand gesture. Like there's a gesture for knowledge. What's the jnana mudra? Something like this. Yeah, something like that, or that, or that, or something. Something like this. The jnana mudra. And in deity worship, there's different mudras performed, hand gestures. So this is the gesture, the mudra for surrender, actually, in according to the Vedic scriptures. And this is one reason, other than feeling very ecstatic, this is one reason why when we chant, we sometimes like that, because it indicates surrender. But what does it really mean to surrender? How do you go about surrendering? You know, like if there's actually a war or something and they come at you with their guns and you surrender, okay, I surrender. But where does it end, just there? No. So when we talk about surrendering to Krishna, it doesn't end with just saying that, okay, Krishna, here I am. I'm all yours now. So here, this is coming from Rupa Goswami. There's six principles in surrender. Accepting things favorable for discharging devotional service, rejecting things unfavorable, believing firmly in the Lord's protection, feeling exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord, having no interest separate from the interest of the Lord, and always feeling oneself meek and humble. So the idea here is that not maintaining material attachments. In other words, we're giving ourselves completely to the holy name by accepting things favorable for chanting the holy name, rejecting things unfavorable for chanting the holy name, and so on, like this. Then last, and certainly not least, is the danger of inattention, which we add on at the list of the 10 offenses. It's sort of like an 11th offense, in a sense. So, inattention, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it can be the most dangerous. Because if you're always attentive to chanting, then where will the possibility arise of offending, of blaspheming the Vaishnavas? Or thinking that the name of the Lord is equal to the name of some demigod. If you're really absorbed in chanting very attentively, then the possibility of committing any of the 10 offenses will hardly arise. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura says that inattention is the root of all 10 offenses. Yeah, it's the first root. You know, another root could be your own lusty desires due to being a conditioned soul. But if you're very attentive to your chanting, then even your own lusty desires won't be able to get in. Yeah. So strictly, really speaking, if you think about it, inattention is actually the root of all the other offenses. And if you're always attentive, you won't commit any of the 10 offenses. So this is very, very important. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakura says there are 3 types of inattentive chanting. And we are going to ask you this in the test. One is, you don't need to know the Sanskrit or Bengali. One is called apathy. The other is called laziness. And the other is called distraction. So you have to learn those, okay? You only got half an hour to learn them. Plus the definition of faith. So we're going to finish in a minute so you get a chance to swat up. So apathy, laziness, distraction. What they are, I think, is fairly obvious. Bhaktivinoda Thakura gives recommendations for each one. To overcome apathy, he says you should chant every day for at least an hour in the company of advanced Vaishnavas. If you're still struggling, or maybe if you can't do that, you know, if you're in a little isolated place, something of that sort, then he says that you can go and sit alone in a closed room. He says you can even cover your head and face with a cloth so you can't see anything and just chant. Yeah. Like this. But the main thing, he says, is chant in the association of devotees. Then for laziness, tendency to want to sleep or just can't be bothered, actually, he says that if you are prone to chant slowly, very slowly, this may be a sign of laziness. Yes. Yeah. Of course, it's if you chant too quickly, not that it's laziness, but it's also a type of inattention if you're chanting too quickly. Anyway, he recommends for laziness, let's see what he recommends. Again, he recommends chanting in the association of devotees. Then overcoming distraction. He says, in order to overcome distraction, the devotee should observe Ekadasi very carefully and observe the festival days very carefully. The appearance days of the Lord, different forms of the Lord, and the great devotees. Try to observe those appearance days and the Ekadasis very meticulously. And this will help cure you of the tendency to become distracted. So these are some suggestions from Bhaktivinoda Thakura. And you've got to be enthusiastic and humble, that's there. Let's see. Okay. I think that'll do for the time being, because there's so much we could say. But let us say that that will do for the time being. Now, just get your pens ready, okay, students? Are you ready? I won't tell you the questions from the other teachers, unless you really want me to.
Yes. Is there anyone who objects? Oh, someone objects out there. Yes. So anyway, for the 10 offences, the questions are, what are the 10 offences? Plus the 11th offence. The 11 marks for that. What are the 4 types of blasphemy? You remember that?
Yes.
We told you to write that down. We told you that you must know 2 examples of big offenders. And we gave, and that means 2 of the ones we referred to. We referred, I think, to 3 or something like that, 4 even. So you must know 2. You don't really need to explain about them, just know who they were. What are the 3 stages in chanting? We talked about that yesterday. Got me? Okay. Anyone not got me? What are the 3 stages? And that, let's see, you've got to know in Sanskrit and English. You got that? Anyone not got that? Navaparad, the offensive stage. Navabas, the clearing stage. Shuddhanam, pure stage. You got that? Okay. And then the definition of faith, we just read a few, it's there in the book, under the 10th offense. And 3 types of inattention. And there, I was thinking you'd only have to know the English, but according to this, you need to know the Sanskrit also. Hare Krishna. Well, it's a test. It's meant to be a test. Now, shall I tell them the other questions, Radha Damodar? What does that mean? Well, you're meant to know the 7 purposes of ISKCON. You're meant to know that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. The translation. Just the translation. 10.14.8. You're meant to give a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in your notes. Well, apparently there's a number of them. Showing how a devotee should regard reversals or tribulations. You got that? Says one. You're meant to give an outstanding example of a great personality who accepted tribulation as a benediction. And you're meant to know what tribulation that devotee had to deal with. Got it? Got it?
Yes.
Sure?
Yes.
Is that okay? So let's hope you all do well. So, now for my part, does anyone have any comments or questions now? Yes, Radha Damodar.
Can you
hear me? Yes, that's recommended, right? A tricky solution here. Instead of getting together with the devotees to chant with them, can we just play a tape of Srila Prabhupada chanting and then be chanting in the association of a pure devotee? Well, I'd recommend, and I think it's more in the spirit of what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is getting at, that we chant in the company of advanced devotees and play a tape of Srila Prabhupada chanting. You know, I think that would really be appropriate. This is very important to chant in the association of advanced devotees. This is very, very important and extremely valuable. Don't underestimate that. That makes a very, very big difference. Really makes a big difference. Someone else had a question. I saw a hand up somewhere. Yes? Yes, under, in the danger of inattention, distraction, vikshepa, it's actually vikshepa. Anyway, we won't be too touchy about the spelling. Distraction, or misplacing one's attention in engagements other than sadhana bhakti. This includes illusion, attraction to wealth, women, position, success, material success, cheating propensity. Does that answer the question? Yeah. These things are included under this heading of misplacing one's attention in engagements other than sadhana bhakti. Distraction. For the tenth offense. That we surrender. The recommendation for the tenth offense is to surrender, to cultivate the six principles of surrender. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a very interesting recommendation as a remedy for all the offenses. You know what it is? It's a blanket recommendation. It applies across the board to all the offenses. He says that in order to avoid the offenses, you should do the opposite. Means, you don't want to blaspheme the devotees. So how do you avoid it? You do the opposite. You glorify the devotees. You don't want to get Lord Krishna mixed up with Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma. So what do? You glorify Krishna and his supreme position. You don't want to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So you glorify the spiritual master and his instructions, and you follow them and promote them like this. Not canvassing. Watch out for that. Just watch out for that one. My gosh. But anyway, you have to find a nice way of doing that. And so on. And we have another thing here. Oh, someone's car's in the way.
No, the alarm's on.
Oh, the alarm's on. What sort of car is it?
White Conquest.
White Conquest ND154248. A White Conquest. Oops, there we go. The alarm is on. Yes. Mm-hmm.
If one has an knowledge of the seven of the seva apara, then one doesn't perform that activity. Then obviously it goes into nama apara. But then, due to some habit, one might be, you know, prone to doing certain thing. And then, even though he is aware, but only after some time it like starts clicking. Or after he performs the activity, and then, oh, I should have done that. So when does it actually turn into an offense?
Yeah, seva aparad under the seventh offense, from seva aparad to nama aparad. Question is, when does it become an offense? It becomes an offense when you know. Means you may forget, but you know actually, but you forget. Yeah. And then you realize, oh, wait a minute, I shouldn't have done that, should I? Yeah. But the thing is, then it's an offense because you should know. You do know it. Yeah. But just because, you know, the mode of passion or something, you're rushing around or whatever, and you don't think about it. Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. It's not a matter that, you know, you're about to enter the temple, but then you think, well, let me just wear my shoes in anyway. It doesn't have to be that gross. Yeah. Or, you know, I just can't be bothered. offering the pranam, saying the pranam mantra out loud, I'll just bow down, touch my head to the ground and jump straight up, which is, you know, not so uncommon these days. Yeah. Yes, Charles.